The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, my engineer and producer on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Monday, May 6, 2019, you're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we'd love to have you. The number is 790-2040. We begin the show as we do every Buckmaster Monday with the Monday Political Face-Off with me in studio commentators John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and Republican candidate for Arizona governor, Jeff Rogers, also a very well-known Tucson attorney and former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John and Jeff, both of you are horsemen, so I can't wait to hear your opinion on the Kentucky Derby. Jeff, we'll begin with you. You've actually owned a couple of racehorses, haven't you?
No, I've never had a racehorse. Okay. I've most of my horses have been cutting horses or team penning horses, quarter horses instead of thoroughbreds like running the Kentucky Derby.
And what do you think of the decision that came down?
Well, I was kind of disappointed. I thought that that horse, maybe there was some effects, but you know, when you're running 19 horses around a corner, there's going to be some bumping and bruising and as you said, jockeying for position.
Yeah, that's what
and
they call jockeys.
It seemed awfully disappointing to see that the best horse didn't win the race. Of course, as we were talking before we went on the air, it's a kind of an interesting Tucson connection in that the horse that then was declared the winner was sired by Lookin' at Lucky. And Lookin' at Lucky was owned by local car dealer Carl Watson, who owns Watson Chevrolet and Infinity of Tucson. And and his horse in the Kentucky Derby in a muddy track some 7 or 8 years ago was Lookin' at Lucky. And he was bumped in the very beginning of the race on a muddy track and never recovered. Mm-hmm. So I guess Lookin' at Lucky got his revenge.
John, they say that the horse went into the lane a couple of lanes over. I mean, it's pretty hard to control a horse, isn't
it? It's really hard to control a horse. And the concept of lanes with 20 horses running, frankly, as they come around the track, they've long since lost their lanes. They've come in cutting in as the leaders. You look at them, they're coming in on the fence.
They're jockeying for position.
They're jockeying for position. And it's crazy. There's too many horses, as we were discussing earlier. Most of the other races only run 14 horses. This race, I think, was running 20.
Yeah, no, actually 19. One was scratch, but they can accommodate 20. And, of course, there's the financial motive.
Well, they have motives but it's too many horses. Yeah. And then you have on a very wet track. You have the crowd roaring. Anybody who knows horses knows that horses respond to things like that. And you have these jockeys on the back of this very powerful animal. People don't realize how powerful horses are until you get on that horse's back. And these are powerful animals. They do not steer with precision. And it's tough. I was disappointed. I agree with Jeff. The best horse didn't win. And I thought that the nudging was not really material. It was not really unexpected. If you're going to run that many horses and you're going to have them come in close at the end, they're going to pack together and they're going to incidentally bump each other.
Jeff and John, let's talk a little bit about the economy and how it's going to affect the presidential race. We have unemployment at the lowest level, Jeff, in half a century. How does this affect the Democratic strategy?
Well, historically, it's been very good for a president who's the incumbent if the economy is good. But we're 18 months away from this race, and a lot can happen in 18 months. We're also and now 10 years into the longest expansion that started in 2009 when President Obama took office. This expansion is the longest one in the history of the United States. So, you know, the longer it gets, you know, we're subject to business cycles. That's just a reality of economics, and it can't be sustained forever. What we hope as economists is that the downturn, when it happens, will be a short one and not too steep, like the last one was. It was long and steep, but that's what you hope for, because inevitably it's going to happen. So we got a lot to figure out between now and then. And the other problem is this president, you know, a lot of his advisors say they want him to stay on message and kind of tout the great economic expansion that has continued, but he can't seem to do that and gets off message. And just recently, yesterday and today, starts tweeting that he's going to add more tariffs, a 25% tariff on the things that now have a 10% tariff, and then he may put a 25% tariff on everything from China soon if he doesn't get his way in this trade dispute. And what he's got to realize is this is an interconnected global economy, and shooting off his mouth like that or his tweet like that is not something that's helpful to our economy or to China's economy. As I said to you earlier today, he's responsible for the largest one-day drop in the Chinese economy or their stock market that's ever occurred because of the words he spoke. So,
John, what do you think?
I think it's wonderful that we've got to end these unfair trade practices by the Chinese. And that has to end. They've been cheating in the United States for 50 years. They've had unfair monetary practices, unfair trade practices, outrageous tariffs against us where we can't sell our goods. They steal our intellectual property. It has to end. And the only way you fight that is you have to raise tariffs. And you have to make it tough on the Chinese so that they will deal. And what better way to deal with the Chinese than to blow up their stock market for a day until the Chinese—
And blow ours up, too.
Well, ours is down a couple hundred points. That's not a big deal in the course of things. But the Chinese stock market went crazy. And the Chinese stock market is going to send a message to the Chinese leaders that they better make a deal. We need a president who will finally stand up for America. And the problem with Jeff's point of view, frankly, respectfully, is that the other presidents of both parties haven't wanted to deal with this and haven't been strong enough to deal with this. And America has been cheated now for 30 or 40 years by the Chinese. And thank God President Trump is standing up to the Chinese and making them understand that unless they deal with us, they're going to suffer. It's just like a military campaign. The best way to fight off an enemy militarily is to be strong and to stand up to them and to make them understand that if they want to have, in this case, a trade war or any kind of war, they are going to suffer. They have been fighting us. It's like the Islamic terrorists. They've been fighting us for decades before we even realized we were in a war. And the Chinese have been doing that, the same thing to us in the trade realm for decades. We didn't even realize we were in a war. We are in a war, and somebody has to stand up to them.
What do you think, Jeff?
Well, here's the thing. It's like a hostage negotiation where you have two guns. You point one at the hostage, and then you point the other one at your own head. And that's kind of what we're doing here. The fact of the matter is somebody pays for these tariffs, and guess who? We do. It affects the price of everything that comes through trade. And we don't have competitive other partners that can provide the same things that we get from China. So yeah, we're going to pay for this. And it's not free. Now, Trump likes to go out and say it's the Chinese who are paying the tariffs. No, it's not. It's American public, buying public, who pays more for things that come out of China. If you put a 25% tariff on a television set, they're going to raise the price of it 25%. They may eat a little bit of it, but they're not going to eat the whole 25%.
Well,
so what happens is this could be not only a drag on our economy and the Chinese economy, certain, but this could be a drag on the world economy. And the world economy is not in as good a shape as our economy is right now. And so, therefore, you know, I would suggest that negotiation is the best thing to do. Yes, have they taken advantage of us? Of course they have. But is this the way to do it with these, you know, huge tariffs? It's not the way to handle this mess.
The problem with the Democrats is they haven't come up with any better alternatives. Never have. You take a Chinese television set. You cannot keep raising the price. The Chinese cannot keep raising the price of a Chinese television set forever. They are, because we're charging these tariffs, the Chinese television sets are becoming more expensive. What's going to happen is American entrepreneurs finally having a fair playing field with equal tariffs are going to be able to outproduce and outprice the Chinese, who've been dealing on an unfair playing field, being able to charge cheap prices because they don't have the tariffs that we have trying to sell to China. It's about time we had a fair playing field.
All right, the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Also, support comes from Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Everybody's excited up at Mona's. I was up there again the third weekend in a row that we've had breakfast there. And Jeff Rogers, I understand you sampled the new breakfast that begins each day at 6:30 in the morning.
I did, and it was delicious. And they're doing something unique with those hash browns, mm-hmm. because they had a very unique flavor, which I thought was really delicious. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I sampled the hash browns with a couple of eggs, and then I went over to the bakery case and had the most John Munger delicious chocolate croissant.
Oh, well.
I mean,
how could you beat a chocolate croissant?
I know. I didn't eat a lot the rest of the day to make up for it.
Well, I didn't eat anything until dinner that day. That took care of me for the whole day.
Yeah.
And we also shared a blueberry muffin that was outstanding as well.
All right. monasdanishbakery.com. And there's also a link at buckmastershow.com. They're open, by the way, right now for lunch. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial, a place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The Face-Off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Moe's doing very well. They've been so busy over there that the framing is business is going so well, and I'm glad to hear it. Moe's Gallery. .com. Jeff Rogers here and John Munger on our Monday Political Face-Off. We've been talking about the economy. Jeff and John, I'll begin with you, Jeff. The people either seem to like Trump or they don't. So I'm wondering, is the economy even going to make that much difference when in this particular go-round in 2020?
I think this is a unique situation, unlike any other presidential election. And people, you know, he cannot seem to get above a low, sometimes to the mid-40s approval rating. We've never had a president who didn't at least get some bump somewhere that put him over 50% approval ratings and sometimes into the 60 and 70%, such as after 9/11 and George W. Bush. But so that makes this a little bit more unique. And the second problem that we have is what I discussed earlier with you, was that if we do slip into a recession, you know, our toolbox is going to be very limited because of the huge tax cut for the wealthy and for corporations. And because that did provide a stimulus effect, as it's wont to do. And but that stimulus effect is starting to wear off. And because of the huge deficit it created, we're not going to be able to engage as easily in deficit spending to pump us out of any other kind of recession should we hit one. So, you know, I think there's a fair chance this economy is going to slow down at some point in time in the next 18 months. When? I sure wouldn't want to guess, but sometime in the next 18 months.
Well, there's a couple of points that Jeff has raised. Let me say this, that number one, President Trump's approval rating has basically matched and continues to match Obama's approval rating at any point. Their approval ratings right now are identical to what they were at the same stage in their presidency. So President Trump, number one, is not particularly behind in the polls. He's doing as well as Obama did. He's got a 56% approval rating on his handling of the economy, which is way, way, way above Obama's. And often the public does look at these economic bread and butter issues. So being strong, with strong approval on the economy, I think President Trump is doing very well with that. Number two, don't forget that President Trump will be running against somebody. I agree with Jeff that we are spending way too much in this economy. One of my great disappointments is neither the Republicans nor the Democrats are able to set priorities on spending. But the interesting thing, President Trump, while Jeff talks about deficit spending, look what the Democrats are offering. Free college for everybody, everything for everybody. The Green New Deal is trillions and trillions of dollars. Taken down form of the Green New Deal is trillions and trillions of dollars. They are talking about spending money way beyond what we are talking about now. No ability to set priorities. So don't look at President Trump running just him. There's going to be an opponent who's going to be probably talking about huge spending programs. And the public is concerned about the deficits, has a right to be. The problem has not been solved, and the Democratic proposals today are only going to make it far, far, far worse. So there will be that. I think the other thing that's important to note is, and I've talked to a lot of people who were formerly never Trumpers or questionable Trumpers, had drinks with one guy in particular the other night that was fairly indicative of a lot of people. People who are have been Republicans or been conservatives, they weren't sure about Trump. Now they're convinced. And you have seen the never Trumpers fall away, this, what I'll call soft Republicans fall away as they become convinced that Trump really is the real deal. And so his base has gotten stronger. Now, he does have to go get a lot of other votes, but he's going to be running against somebody, and he's got a strong economy to run from right now. Yes, it's capable of changing. Every economy, it's also capable of getting better, but it's right now, it's the best economy we've had since the 60s.
Well, as I originally said, a good economy is usually good for an incumbent, but it doesn't last forever. And it does matter who the Democrats nominate. I mean, there are some people who are unelectable. They're just completely unelectable, and some of them are the ones that John is talking about with some of these outlandish somewhat ideas. But the strongest candidates are not saying these things, and people are I thought Biden would really attract a lot of support, but I'm actually surprised to see him, you know, just really swamping and taking over the field. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but he's smart in that he's not focusing his attacks on fellow Democrats. Some are attacking him for not being liberal enough, but he's not attacking fellow Democrats. Well, he's laying down the line for Trump.
And that will be the big test, Jeff, is I think next month the first of these debates begin with 20 candidates.
That's right. And let me say that
the Republicans.
I know.
And look what happened. Yeah. We ended up with Trump.
The Democrats haven't yet begun to talk about Biden. And Biden's got some real problems with his son's deals inside swamp Washington, D.C., inside deals in the Ukraine, inside deals for Biden's family, his son in China. And the public hasn't yet heard about those issues. Those are out there. I will tell you, I think Bernie Sanders is going to pull ahead, just a prediction. I think as the Democrats come out, Bernie Sanders and maybe somebody else are going to pull out ahead of Biden. I just don't think Biden is going to have the ability to hang on to it that long. And I think that Bernie Sanders also has a very strong, I don't want to say hold, but a very strong position in the Democratic Party from the point of view of the nomination. He's not going to be taken down in the nomination process the way he was last time. I think he's much stronger. So I'm not sure that Biden has staying power. They haven't yet begun to attack him. And Biden's got some foibles himself. There's a saying out there that pretty much everything Biden has stood for has been wrong. And so he's attackable. He is not by any means an unassailable candidate. He's got real problems.
Well, you know, just like everybody, if you're in politics for 50 years or more, your views on things are going to change. You're going to grow and change as we all do. I mean, I don't feel the same way about everything as I did 50 years ago either. But I think he's probably going to emerge as the strongest candidate. And I'm looking at something like a Biden-Klobuchar ticket, something that would probably wipe Trump out. And I think the Democrats learned quite a lesson from 2016. And the lesson we learned is that you don't have to have a perfect candidate, but you have to be perfectly united around that candidate if you're going to beat somebody like Trump. And what we're seeing in the internal polling of Democrats is that the number one issue for all Democrats is electability. Number two is health care. Now, that's amazing because health care has been traditionally over the last 6 or 8 years the number one issue. Sometimes it's the economy will outpace it, but it's been top of the issues. And now it's electability. And that's why that's going to do it.
I just don't see that the Democrats are going to be able to put together that. Jeff is a kind of, people need to know, Jeff's a relatively conservative Democrat. He's a progressive, but he's not way out there. And yes, Jeff is supporting, I could see him supporting people like that, but I don't think that's indicative of where the Democratic Party is from what I'm hearing today.
All right, John Munger, Jeff Rogers, gentlemen, thank you very much.
You're welcome, thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check out Moe for all of your framing needs. He's got some great custom frame mirrors as well. We've got a couple of them in our bathrooms in the house. So Mo is the go-to guy for all of your framing needs, Fort Lowell and Dodge. All right, Buckmaster continues on 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Time for our monthly segment featuring the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Pam Krim is here. Pam is the CEO and president of the BBB. Good to see you, Pam.
Nice to be here.
Always a pleasure. And Denise Alvarez. Denise, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Denise is the director of operations at the Better Business Bureau. Pam, you had a very big event on Friday night. How'd it go with the Torch Awards?
It was, I believe, the best we've ever had. It was very exciting. I think we're still just all kind of coming down from the high energy that was in the room. We had 18 finalists. This year we changed it up a bit. We did only ethics. Wow. So there were ethics awards segmented by size of employee groups. And we also introduced our nonprofit awards this year. So we had a segment for under 1.5 million and over 1.5 million. And I tell you, it really changed a lot of the dynamics in the room. It was very, very exciting. And so we had the Rising Effect, who's a great business coach, was a winner. Hardin Brothers Automotive, Casas de la Luz, IMU360, which is a brand new nonprofit, SAFE, the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation, and Gavino Delgado was our Spark Award, which is where we celebrate a millennial business owner, and what an incredible young person he is and has done extremely well in his landscaping business. But also another part of the evening that was exciting was we had the opportunity to host Adia Barnes, the Arizona women's basketball coach, was our keynote speaker. And if I could say a three-pointer, sure. She did a three-pointer. I have never seen so much engagement with a keynote speaker. About every other sentence was an applause, but she really spoke from the heart about ethics and her team and her career and her life and what she owes to basketball. So really there were some tears in the eyes and some standing ovations as well at the same time. So it was a wonderful evening. We all had fun.
A lot of energy in the room, not yes. just for what Adia was talking about, but really for business in this community.
Well, you know, I know I was a business owner for 15 years, and I call the big test is making payroll. So you have a group of folks in there that are courageous, brave, sure. and intelligent, and extremely have high level of passion. So you can only imagine the excitement in that. Even if they were finalists or if they won, they were all just excited to be there with the Better Business Bureau, and we embrace that.
All right. Pam Krim is here, CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau, and Denise Alvarez. I want to talk a little bit of Denise about spring cleaning. A lot of us are going through the closets and saying, hey, this is the time to get rid of some of those clothes that we rarely wear or
right.
could help somebody out by giving to a local charity. But when you donate items to local charities, it's really important to remember that all charities are not created equal, correct?
That is correct.
Tell me a little bit about how do we know a trustworthy charity, and what does the BBB do to help people out in that regard?
Of course. Well, you obviously want to do your homework before you donate to a charity. And BBB offers a charity review program where we work with charities to help ensure that donations and contributions are going to their causes. And so there's 20 standards that they need to meet, and they're the standards for charity accountability. And those include looking at the board, their expenses, their programs, marketing materials, annual reports, just to name a few. And we want to make sure that they're operating ethically and truly that their donations are going to where they say they're going. And so we have, you can go to BBB.org and look up a charity to make sure that they're doing things ethically.
And you have how many accredited charities in Southern Arizona?
We have 30 accredited charities right now.
And then they get a particular seal, Pam, when they do that?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. They do. Mm-hmm. They get to state that they are accredited. Mm-hmm. And if they choose to license with us with the seal, then they have access to that as well. This is a program that we just relaunched about a year ago, formally. We did kind of a pilot program about 6 months before that. So to work with 30, it's pretty amazing, because trust me, this is an extremely arduous process.
Yes.
When it comes to donations, we feel a very high sense of obligation to make sure that we've checked everything. And Denise has been very involved in launching that program, and Barbara Levy, too, who was a volunteer director for that.
And Denise, not all charities take used clothing, correct? That's something. So you need to really do your research there.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Before you try to donate anything, you want to contact the charity just to make sure that they actually take the items. They usually look for items in good condition. So ripped sweatshirts or torn jeans are likely to be rejected. So if you're unsure of what the charity will accept, contact them before you drop anything off.
Denise, are those collection bins in the parking lots and some of these remote locations, in general, are they safe to use?
Collection bins in the parking or any remote location are generally safe to use. The important thing to remember is that you need to connect with the charity first. Be careful with the names that sound very familiar to known charities. We have some scammers that use, names that you will recognize in order for you to do their donations with them. So you will always want to check with the charity first. Just give them a call or visit, like I said, give.org or BBB.org. www.bilbuckmaster.org to do your research before dropping any of the donations off.
And Pam, how do you know how much to deduct?
That's interesting. It's really up to the donor.
Yeah.
You know, we sometimes think, well, won't that particular agency just tell us how much that chair was
exactly.
that I left off? But it's really up to the donor. And I know on many of the tax softwares as well, software programs, they also give you suggestions depending on the current condition of it. I know I ran into that for the last couple of years where it helps you get to that point. But you can also go in and go to some of the secondhand stores that they have and get an idea that maybe that chair that you're thinking is worth $200 is probably worth $75.
Right, right. Because yeah. some people think, well, oh my goodness, I put so much money into this
right.
piece. But then when they're ready to give it away, it's not worth very
right.
much.
So yes. there's a reality check on that.
Pam Krim is here, CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau, and Denise Alvarez, who is the director of operations at the BBB. Denise, this is also a good time to do some digital cleaning, and I really hadn't thought much about this, but it'd be a good time to kind of go in and look at all of those, maybe all the passwords that you've got, and just take a look at what you've got out there and maybe do some deleting, right?
Right, that's correct. Digital spring cleaning involves just cleaning out your machines, like you said, updating your passwords. And when most people hear cleaning, they're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to clean. And so what we suggest is that you do it, you know, during 4 weeks. So the first week you're looking at just your computer, make sure it's malware-free, it doesn't have any viruses. Second week, focus on your online accounts and make sure that you update your passwords, mm-hmm. you know, and make sure that you do this 4 times a year to ensure that your accounts stay safe. During the third week, you want to do a digital file purge. Look at all the digital records that you have, your phone, your laptop, your desktop, and organize the files just as you would do with paper files. And then on week 4, focus on your online reputation. Just look at your social media accounts to ensure your privacy settings are set to what you want and make sure that the password is strong enough so that no one can hack your account.
Pam, also one thing I have run into with the digital area are the cookies. The computer started to run very slow, and these cookies really can bog down the speed of what you're doing, and you need to kind of take a look at that.
Right. I have been a victim of that.
Yeah.
And Denise, being also our IT guru, has oftentimes come in to me and insisted that I clean up, turn
right.
off my cookies. Uh-huh. I'm sure she's snickering right now.
Yeah.
As well as the idea of putting all of your correspondence in files. That's something that I always struggle with, but it's an important thing to do.
Mm-hmm. What can you do to kind of clean out the cookies, Denise, since we're lucky to have you here, the IT guru at BBB? What do you recommend?
You just want to clean it. We do it at the office. We try to do it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, we don't want computers to be running slow.
Right.
And so we just suggest that you do it once a month. And I've set it up for the staff to be done automatically for once a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you should do so that the computer's not running slow.
Mm-hmm. And I like also the idea about taking a look at what's going on with social media. Mm-hmm. Are there some, you know, you can get in there to Facebook and say, is there somebody else that's using my identity, Pam and Denise? Is there somebody that is trying to, take over your account, basically?
Right, yeah. And there's a lot of different security settings.
Right.
And as Facebook changes and evolves, which it's doing a lot of that right now currently, it's important to stay up on it and review those for your account. And most likely, I think as a parent, now my son's 26, so he knows more about it than I do. But for the younger folks that have teenagers, it's really important as a parent or a guardian to keep an eye on that. Don't you think, Denise?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's correct. Just make sure that you know that what's out there is a true reflection of who you are. Make sure that you said, like you said, mm-hmm. check Facebook to make sure that there's no any other accounts using your picture or your
name. Also Twitter, right?
Twitter, yeah. Correct.
Okay. All right, Denise and Pam, when's the next BBB Mixer coming up, ladies?
Well, it's exciting. It's going to be at Monterey Court, mm-hmm. and it's on May 14th, and it's 5 to 7, and it's no cost. We have appetizers, raffle prizes, cash bar, but it's a lot of fun. I have never been to Monterey Court, and I'm really looking forward to it because I drive by it every day, and it's right. not open.
Right.
But I know they have a sense of artisans there as well as music etc.
Yeah. I've heard some very good things about it.
Me too. So we're very excited to be working with them on May 14th from 5 to 7, Monterey Court, right on Miracle Mile. And again, there's no cost. Just come and join us, and we'll look forward to seeing everyone. You can RSVP on our Facebook event page, which is at SOAZBBB. And you can also bring a raffle prize if you want a shout out to all the rest of the business owners that are networking there. And you don't have to be an accredited business to attend. This is open for all.
Perfect. Denise and Pam, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. The best starting place to learn more about the BBB is your website, right, Pam?
That's right, BBB.org.
Can't miss that. That's easy to remember, BBB.org. Ladies, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's always good to see you.
We continue on the Buckmaster Show, 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back with General Wickham.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. So excited about that hot breakfast they're serving. We heard Jeff Rogers during the political face-off talking about he went up there and had the hot breakfast. Bob Dio, my engineer producer, he is looking forward to taking the family up there, aren't you, Bob?
Absolutely. Every time you talk about it, I keep thinking, oh, I got to get up there.
And it's so funny because Jeff was talking about the hash browns, and that's what I had with the eggs. And Jeff had them also, and he said it. They have a very distinctive taste, very different. So I definitely recommend the hash browns. Open right now for lunch and breakfast, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Also, there's a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Additional support comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things, now home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Latin America. Also, support comes from Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. General John Wickham with us now on the live line. General Wickham is the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, former United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Bill, and wonderful to be on your great program. I had a nice talk with Bob.
Bob does such a great job for us. And also, I'm just so pleased, General Wickham, that we have such great partners and sponsors to this program. You heard me just talking about some of them. They're terrific people.
Oh, they are, yes, and I've known some of them.
Sure. Yeah, I know you have. You've patronized some of our wonderful partners. General, we have tension heating up in the Middle East, where a United States bomber group and carrier group are in a position off of Iran to send what the Trump administration is calling an unmistakable message. We have a possible military action looming in Venezuela. We have renewed missile testing in North Korea. General Wickham, what's the top priority in your opinion right now, sir?
Well, let me come back to the top priority. The motivation for a lot of this comes from Bolton, the national security advisor that Trump listens to, if he listens to anybody. And Bolton is very, very conservative and feels that America must use its military might to exert influence in the world. And so that's why the North Korean situation is in a very bad situation, and we conceivably could use military might in North Korea to punish them and do some sort of submission. Now, the Middle East situation is bad. It has been bad for centuries, and it's not going to go away because it's all based on the religious divide between Sunni and Shia Muslims. And we're going to have wars over there and hostilities for a long time. And the presence of Israel adds to that. Everybody here in America is a supporter of Israel, a democracy, but its presence there contributes to aggravation and irritation. And the Israelis are not very tolerant and willing to make compromise. They're very conservative. And so they want to take over part of the area in there on both sides of the river. And so it doesn't look like there's going to be any opportunity for peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And now the Iran nuclear deal, I think, had some flaws in it. No doubt many deals do. Even NATO deal has flaws in it. But it's good for history and good for the future and good for the United States. And the Iran nuclear deal stopped Iran from having a nuclear weapon for at least 15 years and stopped in many ways the movement to a nuclear proliferation in the Middle East and sort of tear up that nuclear deal and say we're not going to abide by it is a bad message for North Koreans because it means to them you can't trust the United States when you sign a deal. And it allows the Iranians now to begin going after a nuclear weapon if that's what they want to do, and I think they will. So the movement now of carrier and other military forces into the Middle East propels Iran to do just that. And so we are not only encouraging them, we're helping motivate them to do that. I think it's foolish, in my humble opinion, but I'm just a simple retired soldier.
But you're saying then this is a bad move by putting the group on this high alert?
I do. I do think it is, yes. Mm. I think diplomacy is the way to go. Well, military force in the Middle East, look what it got us in Afghanistan. Look what it got us in Iraq. Afghanistan, a war that's continuing. We're getting out of it, and we will. But the idea that we can go over there and solve their problems the way we did with Vietnam, North Vietnamese, step aside, Asian man. We're going to show you how to win the war. Hmm. We didn't.
General, we've got this situation with the renewed testing in North Korea. How concerned are you? I know the South Koreans are very concerned about this.
they need to be, because an illustration that a manifestation of the North Koreans that are unpredictable, and they're going to continue. Now, where do the North Koreans get the resources to do this? Well, they do sell some of their raw materials from their land, and they do get some help from the Chinese, and I think they may be getting some help from the Russians. As you know, Kim Jong-un had a meeting with Putin, and you wonder, where was the origin of that? I think it came from North Korea and from Russia. Russia wants to be influential in Northeast Asia, and they think that they can take over the United States' role, because the United States has backed out of Asia. China is the dominant influence in Asia and will continue to be, so long as the United States takes its reticent role. So I think the South Koreans have a reason to be very anxious, having lived over there and knowing how close South Korean Seoul city is to the North Koreans. Seoul can be under artillery fire and range of missiles in minutes. And it's hard for Americans to comprehend that.
We've got 17 years, $900 billion, and three presidents later, we are still in Afghanistan, General Wickham. Over 2,400 United States service members have paid the ultimate sacrifice, leaving their families to deal with the question, General Wickham, was their sacrifice worth it? Your response, please.
Well, it's a wonderful question. I think that hits every family that has a serviceman. Is your service worth what the sacrifices you're likely to pay? And as you know, I was almost killed my first tour in Vietnam and was given the last rites. But thank God that the good Lord gave me another life. So I think that's a fundamental question that every family's got to struggle with. Is their service worth what's going on? And yes, I think we've sent people to do duty that our political authorities said you're going to do for the benefit of America. And yes, so we have to continue to do that, and we will continue to do it in the future. I remember a wonderful ceremony in Normandy up on Pont du Hoc when Reagan gave a speech up there to people who had to climb the cliff in the war. There were rangers there from the war, and then rangers from from the operation in the Middle East, where we, in Caribbean, when we went in to get the medical students.
In Grenada, Yeah.
And you could see that these people were the older men and the younger men, the same face, the same feeling of patriotism and love of country, and saying the same things each age, even they were young and old. So it's a wonderful thing that America still produces that kind of love of country and willingness to serve.
You know, you mentioned Grenada, and of course you were the chief of Army operations during that, correct? Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And I'm wondering, and I'm quickly running out of time, unfortunately, what are your thoughts about what can we realistically do in Venezuela, General Wickham?
What we can realistically do is continue the pressure on Maduro down there to get him to leave as the leader. And we're doing that. And so I think that's healthy. Venezuela is an important country in the Western Hemisphere. It's got oil. It's influential. The Russians are involved, unfortunately. But we can work together with the Russians, and that can be helpful. So I think we need to continue. The idea of using force is crazy. Some of that's coming from Bolton. Well, we should not use our force. We should use diplomacy as much as we can.
All right, General Wickham, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much, sir. Get out there and ride your bike for a couple miles, huh?
every day there, the Lord bless me.
Always a pleasure to talk with General John Wickham on the Buckmaster Show. He is our military and foreign affairs contributor, one of two dozen or so people who contribute regularly to the program that we're very proud to have as part of the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Bob Dio, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Buckmaster coming up next. Around the Table with Jennifer English. That program coming up from 1 to 3. John C. Scott, 3 to 5. Steve Rivera, his program, Eye on the Ball, now on KVOI from 5 to 7. So on behalf of all of us here, we are very proud to be working and presenting 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Have a great afternoon and evening.